The same way, I would get money, and the thought of having money, because I was so used to not having it, the thought of having it scared me so much. I would spend it quickly to get back to seeing a negative in my account quickly.
Wow. So thank you so much, Shani. I really appreciate you taking the time to come and speak with us, to come and give us your expertise. I saw you on Facebook. I see what you're doing. And my thing is, I always encourage people that small steps make progress. So that was the main thing here, to
Yes.
just let everybody know, one, about financial literacy, what you do, and encourage them so that they can take the steps that they need on their entrepreneurial journey. So before we start anything, we can just let everybody know who you are, and then we'll go from there.
Awesome. Well, thank you again for having me. I'm super excited
Of
to be
course.
here. Hi, everyone. I'm Miss Shani Speaks. I help women heal from financial trauma and thrive by making money selling digital products. I am also the creator of Truth Talks, Empowerment for Healing and Thriving. It is my podcast, and it's available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, Audible, and iHeartRadio. So I'm super excited to be here sharing this journey with all of you. And once again, I'm just so grateful for Avery to for inviting me to be able to speak on this platform.
Well, of course. So this is a new platform, and I figured to start off everybody on their entrepreneurial journey, they should learn about financial literacy. And me being an accountant, being an entrepreneur, being somebody that has come from nothing, and to accomplish what I've accomplished, I owe it all to God, but also to the willpower that I would have had, the time that I take to learn. So again, I am Avery Anderson. Welcome to Wealth, Wisdom, and Winning. And we're going to teach you how to get there as well. So we're going to just dive right in, Shani. Tell us, what is financial literacy?
So financial literacy is just like reading literacy. So it's instead of understanding reading, phonemes, morphology, all of that, it is understanding finances, saving, investing, growing wealth, all of those things related to finances, credit. Having knowledge of that is when you are financially literate.
So, how did you begin your journey? I know that you said that you signed up for one course and from then you took off. So, tell us a bit about your journey on financial literacy and you trying to accomplish that financial freedom that everybody is trying to get.
Absolutely. So my journey, I'm gonna have to take y'all back a little bit. 2017, circa 2018, I was in a really, really bad place financially. My car got repossessed. I was behind on my rent. I had gotten evicted. My credit score was terrible. It was just bad. It was a terrible financial situation. And I wanted change. I was like, this can't be my reality forever. Like I can't do this. This is too stressful. This is difficult. I'm unhappy. I'm not healthy right now. And so I said I wanted to change. So I was on Craigslist, believe it or not. I know I'm dating myself probably a little bit. I was on Craigslist and I was just like, I need to find a job. I need more income. That was my solution, I thought, to the problem. I needed to bring in more income. So as I was journeying through Craigslist, I came across an ad and they were hiring for someone to work from home, just doing something like customer service. And I'm like, oh yeah, cool. That sounds great. I can do it from home and I can make a little bit of extra money. Great. This works out perfect. I didn't know at the time that the person, his name was KP. He was not just looking for someone to work from home. He was a part of a company that was called Life Leadership, I believe. And he told me, oh, this company, it's great. It teaches you all about financial literacy. And I'm like, all right, I guess I don't know anything about financial literacy, but if it's going to help me with my money problems, sign me up, like, I don't know, sign me up. And so I got involved with this company, and they were selling these boxes. And in the box, there was a book, and it was all about like financial literacy and financial fitness, being financially fit. And I'm reading through the book, and I'm like mind blown. Like, I was like, wait a minute, what is this? How come I'm just finding out about this? Why didn't anyone teach me any of this? This is gold. And so I became like super passionate about not only learning that information and applying it in my own life, so starting my financial literacy journey, but I became really passionate about sharing it with others. That didn't quite work out as well as I had hoped. No one was like interested in buying my box with a book in it and some other tools. They were like, yeah, right. And you know, and I get it, because a lot of people don't, if you don't know what it is, you don't know the value of it, right? And so I was like, okay, I gotta figure out how to get, sorry about that. I have to figure out how
That's
to
okay.
get this product in front of everyone, or I have to figure out how to get this information in front of everyone. I couldn't really figure that out. So I was still on my journey, and I'm like, okay, great. I came across Tiffany Alice. She's the Budgetnista, for those of you who've never heard of her. I came across her book, Get Good with Money, as well as her Dreamcatchers Facebook group. And my entire perspective like changed. Here she was, a Black woman from Newark, New Jersey. Myself, I'm from Plainfield, New Jersey. So we weren't even far apart. And she was doing exactly what I aspired to do. She had locks. She was talking about financial literacy. She was helping people by teaching them these principles. And I just looked at her and I was like, I want to do that.
That's
That's what I
awesome.
want. And I was so inspired. And so those two people, KP and Tiffany Alice, and those two points in my life really is what got me on this journey and just, you know, kept me going with it and gave me the vision of this is what I want to do. I'm passionate about, you know, knowing this, applying this, and helping other people know and apply this information as well.
Well, I think that's a great opportunity and a great drive and goal to have, because a lot of the people that I met, problem is the fact that they don't like to invest in themselves and they want the free 99. And guess what? I can't even get mad at them because I like free 99 too. I like it. But there is a balancing act that each and every one of us have to learn and know when to tip the scale, spend the money, or YouTube University it. But at some point, if you really want to see progress in your life, if you want to see movement in your life, if you want to see your situation shift, it's going to take a little more than just the time and the effort. And you're going to have to put your money where your mouth is. You're gonna have to spend and actually invest in yourself. So let's talk about you investing in yourself and making sure that you came from the behind rent, the credit score in the trenches, and the repo car. Tell us now where you are, what you're doing, and how you're doing that.
Yes, so I love what you said about investing in yourself. And I was in that place. I was just like those people. I wanted the free 99. I wanted the YouTube University. You know, I love free, okay? I'm with you. I feel you on that. So I was not in the right mindset to know the importance of investing in yourself, okay? It took some time to learn that. And what that looked like was initially, I will always ask the same question: how much is this going to cost me? How much is that going to cost me? You know, oh, Tiffany Alice had an academy. She had an academy, and it was the Dream Catchers, the Dream Builders Academy, Wealth Academy, something to that effect. Can't even remember exactly the name, but it was something like that. But she had this academy. And I was like, man, I'm getting all this great value from being in her free Facebook group, but how much more would I be able to access and get by making this small investment in myself? And at the time, I don't know how much it is to join her academy now. At the time, it was $9.99. And I know people are like, wait, $10 a month? Like, you wouldn't spend $10 a month. But I'm like, when you broke and you feel like you have $0 a month or less than that, $10 is a lot of
It
money, you
is. That
know?
could be your dinner. That could be your little cheat day meal.
Yes, exactly. So I'm like, you know, I was leery about taking that leap of investing in myself, but I can tell you that was a game changer. When you stop asking, how much is this going to cost me, and start asking, how much will this investment bring to me,
Return.
return on my investment will I get? Like, what's my ROI going to be on this? That's return on investment, guys. But when you ask that question instead, it changes your whole perspective, the way you see things, the way I figure if I pay $10 a month and I can get access to her directly, her magic unicorn team of people, all of the courses and all of the things that she has to offer, there's so much value in that. Like $10 a month, it just seems like a steal. And I know she's since then changed the price. So like I said, I don't know what it is now, everyone, but at that time, that's how much it was. And so I took that leap of faith. And now because of that, I'm in a point where I have two cars now. I am a homeowner now. You know, I don't have those same money struggles. I just sent my oldest off to college, you know. So you have to do something different if you want to get something different. And I was doing the same thing over and over and over. And I was wondering why I was getting the same result. Why was I still broke? Why was I still sad? Why was I still not feeling like I had enough? And it really started to shift when my mindset started to shift and I became brave enough to take that leap and invest in myself.
I just want to point on that when you said your mindset shift. When I coach people, I keep telling them it does not matter what be put in place. We could set all the goals in the world. We could have the timelines. I could give you what you need to begin. I could help you get started in your way. But if your mindset is not one to succeed, to win, it's not going to make a difference. And I get so annoyed because, of course, when you start off, you work with people that are closest to you. You know, you test like they're your little guinea pigs. Because they're doing it for free to just test what you're doing. But even when I'm working with them and testing my financial coaching strategies, I see that a lot of them they want things, or they want to do things or accomplish things, but people don't really want that. They don't, because they don't want to put in the work. They just talk, 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 talk. And my thing is like, don't talk about it. Be about it. Be about it. I can't just be out here holding your hand, dragging you. Like, you're stressing me out at this point. Like, so no, I don't take guinea pigs no more. Like, I don't do free work. I don't know about y'all. I invested plenty in myself to the tunes of tens of thousands of dollars to give away my knowledge for free. Because when I find that people that get your knowledge for free, they kind of spit on you, they don't listen to you, and they take it for granted. So I don't
Yes.
do that no more. If you want my time,
Absolutely.
you gonna pay.
I love
You gonna
it. I
pay.
love it. I love it. And it's so important because if you get something for free and you don't have to work for it or you don't have to put in the effort for it, you don't always value it the same way. When you have to actually do something to get something, you tend to have a little bit more value in it than when someone just gives it to you and it comes so easily. You feel like, oh, I don't have to take this serious. I don't have, this isn't worth much, obviously, because if it was, they wouldn't be giving it to me for free. So that's it's again, it's another shift, just like you said. And if the mindset isn't there, just to your point, there's not going to be any change or progress made or any lasting progress because you might change momentarily, but the minute that no one's like right there, right with you, telling you do this, don't do this, do that, you're not going to really, you're going to see the same results that you were getting. You're going to slip back into that same comfort zone, that same broke way of thinking, you know, that unhealthy mindset. So it's super key that your mindset shifts before you will see the reality shift.
So I actually am working on my wealth wisdom and winning workbook, and we start off with the financial literacy portion of it, and budgeting, and we go into tax planning, so on and so forth, so forth. But let's talk about a little more of the financial literacy part of it, because now we know a big factor, a key, major key is your mindset. What else have you found to be a major key in regards to financial literacy? Because you don't have to have the most money to be wealthy, rich, successful. So, other than mindset, what did you see in your time from where you were to where you are now?
So, other than mindset, one of the things that has to keep you going is your why, right? A lot of times, what you were saying, like people start things, they don't take it necessarily seriously, and they don't really, follow through. It's because there's something that's blocking them from really connecting with what is the why. Why do you want to do this? It becomes more than about money. Because, like you say, you don't have to have a lot of money. So you have to really dig deep and discover your why. Why do you want this? Why do you want this change? What will having the money do for you? What is beyond just the money itself? Because people say money can't buy happiness, and it can't technically go in a store and purchase a happiness. But if I go in the store and I purchase a nice Louis Vuitton bag, and I don't even have to worry about the price tag, I just know that I have the money to cover it and it doesn't matter. That could be happiness for me, that could be peace for me. So it's like, what is your why? What do you really want this for? What is it that you're really wanting to achieve beyond the money? Most people have a deep, deep why that they need help discovering what it is. Once that is teased out, and once, like you as a coach, I know you know this, Avery, you dig deep with people because that's what coaches do. Once you dig deeper, you usually discover that there's something deep there that they really, really want. And when that is revealed, that's it. They go after it because they can keep remembering that deep why. Your why should make you cry,
It should.
okay? If your why doesn't make you cry, it's not strong enough. You got to get a strong why to stay motivated and to stay committed, to stay focused, because that why is going to be the thing that keeps you going. For me, I want a better life for my kids. I want to give them something that I never had, that no generation before me and my family has ever had. And that's my why. That's my goal. I want them to see a whole new world, something different. And so that keeps me going. That keeps me, motivated. That keeps me, fired up. And so that's another huge part of the journey, just having a strong why.
I love that. And even so, myself, you are so right because still a balancing act, but I find that my why is similar to yours. I did not have stability. We moved so much. I'm actually from the Bahamas, so I don't know if you heard the accent, but
Yes,
yeah.
beautiful.
Thank you.
You're
But growing
welcome.
up, we moved from place to place. We lived in a lot of apartments. So we live with my grandmother, we live with my family members. Like, it was a lot of movement. And I know one thing I wanted for my kids was to not have to experience that. So my goal was to own a home at 23. And by the grace of God, I was able to do that a few months. Like, I think it was like a month or so after 24. But nevertheless, it was in play from 23. It just took a really long time to close. But God did that. God did that. I wanted to see things, go places that my family have never been, some of the countries that I've been to. I'm pretty sure, like, my family didn't even know existed, and not to
Yes.
say nothing to them because they are really great people and they are all successful in their own ways, but mine was different, and that was my why, but
Absolutely.
go on,
Absolutely.
sorry.
No, I was saying absolutely. And that's, I look at my family and they did the best they could with what they had. They're great people, but they didn't have access to the information that I have access to. And so that limited them from seeing the opportunity that I've been able to see. And so that's why I'm like, I have to change this. You know, I can't have my kids be locked out of that access because I'm not able to give them experiences. And so that was a huge part of it. So when you tell your story, it so resonates with me because, like you said, when it comes to my kids, like they're my why. My why makes me cry. They're like the ones that I shed my tears for. I'm like, I gotta make something happen for them. I don't care what happens for me, but I need to make sure they're okay.
Yes, I love that. And the thing about, well, the Bible says that wealth, a man, he generates wealth for his grandchildren. So you can't just stop about your kids. You have to go beyond that and make sure that whatever you accumulate, whatever you grow, whatever you build is sufficient for your grandchildren.
Yes, ma'am.
Right. So,
So
a quick
true.
question. In the financial literacy space, we talked about people assuming that you have access to the most money or access to people, but you said it yourself, it was a free Facebook group. And then you was like, let me see if I pay, what more I could get. But what other misconceptions did you find surrounding financial literacy and people believing that they can't succeed?
So the misconceptions, there are a few common ones. One of the misconceptions about wealth that I found or financial literacy that I found is it's really hard to learn and it's really hard to do. A lot of people are frightened to start the journey because they're like, it's going to be so hard. It's so difficult. It's not easy, you know. And that is not true. It's not true. Is it different? Yes, because it's something again that you've never done before. So it's something new. So it's going to take some getting used to. Just like when you get a new pair of shoes from the store, when you put them on, even though they're your size, they don't always fit exactly right until you've worn them a few times. And now your foot fits in there just as it's supposed to, and it feels amazing. So it's like you have to get used to that new feeling a little bit. And then it becomes comfortable. When you're applying it, it becomes second nature. They say it takes 30 days to build a habit. So you got to do something the same over and over again for 30 days before it starts to become a habit. And it's the same thing with financial literacy. It's all new. So until it becomes a habit, until it becomes second nature, until it becomes comfortable, you have to keep doing it. And that tends to scare people off, but it's not hard. It's consistency. It's all about consistency. And if you're going to make any progress, just like if you were trying to lose 100 pounds, you're not going to see a huge change tomorrow if you work out today and it's your first time ever working out. Or if you eat healthy today and you never ate healthy before, you're not going to see 100 pounds difference tomorrow. You got to keep eating healthy every day as much as possible. You got to keep showing up at the gym 3, 4, 5 times a week, as much as possible. And you have to do it consistently to see change. You said it best at the beginning of this interview about how those small steps, they add up to huge change in the long run. So it's not hard, it's just consistency. And that's one of the biggest misconceptions I've seen along the way. Another misconception that I've seen in a lot more in our community, in the community of African American people and people of color, is not teaching. It's like, don't talk about finances with your kids. Like, don't talk about that. Don't talk about that. That's a huge misconception. Okay. Wealthy people talk to their kids about being wealthy and about having wealth and about money. They make sure that they impart those skills, that knowledge, those beliefs onto their children from the beginning. So we have to do better with that as a community, I feel. Don't there's this you can talk to kids about money. So whatever beliefs you have about this silent, hide the money, hide the budget, stop it. Stop it. Talk to your kids and teach them about wealth early. Teach them the financial literacy principles early. Get them to practice these principles early on so that when they grow up, it's common, it's second nature for them. So that's those two misconceptions have been the most common I've seen personally and the most damaging, I feel.
Yeah. I'm a believer too, and I feel like a misconception around finances and being wealthy as well. People believe that you shouldn't flourish. And it's very weird to me because the Lord did not put us here to live a rough life. And things cost money. You need money to be able to live a soft girl, God-led life. Because if you're struggling, how you living?
Listen, you are preaching, Avery. Amen. And that's a big one. I grew up, that was a money belief that I had to personally confront and transform. I grew up with my dad, I love him. He's amazing, amazing guy, but he kind of made me believe that, rich people were like not good people. Like it was bad because they had money. They were greedy people and they were, oh, people with money, they're just stuck up. They're this, they're that. And those beliefs, if you have those, any of those beliefs, I guarantee you it's blocking you from being wealthy and having money. I guarantee you. Because somewhere deep in your subconscious, you're not going to be attracting money because you're scared to be rich because you're scared that that's going to make you a bad person or an evil person. So you're so right when you say that. That was like that touched home for me because that was a big one myself as a misconception that I had to overcome.
Right, because I mean it's a necessity. We need it, and that's something that we all have to come to terms with. Unfortunately, some people don't have it. But again, speaking to mindset, I made a Facebook post a while ago, and I said you could start the world over because they was talking about how rich Elon Musk, and I was like, we could take all the money in the world and divvy it up equally amongst everybody. And I promise you, we will still find ourselves back to where we are, where there's a 1%, where there's a poverty line, where there's middle class, because everybody's mindset is different. Now, mind you, some people may not find themselves in the same category, but you will still find those categories come about.
Right. Absolutely. And it doesn't matter if you don't know about financial literacy, if your spending habits and everything, your financial habits are poor, it doesn't matter if someone drops $1 million. We see it all the time. People hit the lottery, they never had money before, and then they're broke. And in a year, they're like back in the same place, broke. You get these NFL players, they come out the league, they had these multi-million dollar contracts for years. And in a couple of years, you're hearing about them, you're seeing a documentary, they're flat broke. They don't have anything. It doesn't matter how much money I give you, because how much money you make is not the end all be all. It's how much money you can keep, how much money you can continue to make, and how much money you can have your money grow for you. If you don't know how to do that, you're gonna find yourself, repeating those same cycles, broke again. I was the same way. I would get money, and the thought of having money, because I was so used to not having it, the thought of having it scared me so much. I would spend it quickly to get back to seeing a negative in my account quickly. My mindset was so warped because I was like, oh, you can't keep money. That's what I thought. Oh, you can't keep money. You're bad at money. You're not a good saver. You're all of these limiting beliefs, and that was what my reality reflected. All of those things I believed about my money situation. So when money would come in, I would spend it fast because I would be like, I can't hold on to money. I'm so scared I'm going to be poor again. So I'll make myself poor again to stop myself from being poor again. Yeah, it was that deep.
But I like that because we need to affirm ourselves, and sometimes that goes with writing. Like, it's different for everybody. But just like how you said, those limiting beliefs, I don't know if that came from when you grew up. Sometimes people will tell you, you ain't gonna be nothing. You will never be nothing. You could be like this person, or you could be like that person. And then we start to take those things on and those layers on, and we start to project ourselves as the things people told us we'll be. So did you find that was the reason why you would tell yourself those things?
Well, it would be, I wasn't directly told those things, but I just never saw anybody rising above those things. So all my reference points were the same way. Like everybody in my family struggling with money. Everywhere I look, everyone's struggling with money. No one has money. No one is wealthy. No one is living, large or whatever. Like everyone here is struggling. So I must be the next person in line to just struggle, right? I can't. It's not possible for me to be anything more because no one else is anything more. So how would it be? What makes me special? What makes me different? And that was my belief for a long time. I used to tell everyone, oh, yeah, I'm generationally cursed. I would say that all the time. I would affirm that for myself. Oh, my whole
Speaking it
family is
over yourself.
generationally cursed. Yeah, so it was like that was my reality. So I would tell myself that, and then that's what I would get. Oh, we're all gonna be broke. And it wasn't that anyone explicitly said that to me, that you can't be anything more, you're not gonna ever be anything. But it was just the fact that because I didn't see any examples of anything different, I had no other reference point to pull from. So I just believed what I saw, which is everyone struggles, everyone broke, everyone can't hold on to money or can't save.
So you talked about the book when you got the job from Craigslist in the beginning, and then you talked about Alicia, I think that was in here. Were there any other books that encouraged you to shift your mindset to want more?
That's an excellent question. Absolutely. There's a book, it's called The Secret by Rhonda Byrne. The secret is it opened up my entire world. It just opened my eyes in ways like I was like, again, mind blown. She talks all about how anything in this world you can have by manifesting it. And she goes into how to manifest all the things that you can manifest. And it was like, oh my God, like when you are made aware of the power of your mind and the power of your thought and how that can shape your reality, it's almost like someone opened up a window, turned on the lights, and you had a blindfold on and you were in the dark for so long. And then all of a sudden, someone just gave you sight. You can't ever go back to being that blind person again. So that book changed my life. As well as The Alchemist by Paulo Coelho. That's a book I come back to. It just reaffirmed for me that, you never know why you're going through something. You never know what it is, like why these things are happening, but they don't have to all mean that it's going to be bad for you. It's going to end up bad for you. You might be going through different struggles and different challenges, but those challenges could be for serving you for your good. They could be setting you up for your blessing or, for your miracle. And so that made me like stop looking at every setback as, oh my God, this is the end. This just affirms again that I'm a terrible person. Because that's what happens, especially when it comes to money. The minute you're broke again, the minute you're credit takes a hit, the minute you overdraft your account, those thoughts creep right back in. And it's like, see, I told you, you're broke. You're never gonna have anything. You're not worthy of it. And it's like, no. This is a learning experience. This is something else. Like, so those books definitely opened my eyes and had and made me see things from a totally different perspective than I ever considered before. So love those books. If anyone has not read those books and you want to make changes in your life in any area of your life, definitely read The Secret by Rhonda Byrne and The Alchemist by Paulo Coelho. Those are life-changing books.
Well, thank you so much for telling us those books. I wanted to comment on something that you said in regards to failing. And I don't know who, because I'm sure somebody said it, but they said fail forward, fail forward. Because when you fall and you fail, some people like to fall back. They like to stop. They like to not get up. But when you fail forward, you keep you pushing. You get
That's
to
right.
take everything that you learn in your failure to know that that's not something you do the next time. Now, expert level is seeing other people fail and not whatnot. But sometimes, unfortunately, we can have to fail ourselves. And when you
Yes.
do that, always take it as a learning opportunity. What could I have done different? What could I do different now? And even so, in the Christian community, people be like, oh, there's no God. This bad thing happened to me, blah, blah, blah. But some things you just have to go through to strengthen you, to give you that experience. It unfortunately, we could all wish we could just watch everybody do things wrong and be like, okay, I can do it like this and do it like that.
Right.
But we have to experience life, because when you learn, they say life experience is life's best teacher. So when you learn from life, it's a lasting impression, because you just know. Because I could tell my children, like, don't put your hand on the stove, it's hot. And I could tell you that, tell thy kingdom come, thy will be done forever and ever. Amen. And I promise
Right.
you, I'll be saying that more than once, because you ain't believe me. But when you decide to touch that stove and see it's hot, I promise you ain't gonna do it again.
That is so true. That is so true. And that is the way of life. Life is all about the learning. There's growth in the learning process. If you come into a class and you already know all the curriculum, you already know all the materials, you already mastered the class, you're not going to see much growth. Okay? So it doesn't matter what the teacher teaches. If you already know all the things, there's no growth to be had because you know everything. But when you start at a place of not knowing, of having made a mistake, and then you're able to learn and then apply that new knowledge and then move forward, that's growth. That's the beauty in life. And that's what we all have to understand. In life, there's going to be areas where, yes, we excel the first time and we know and we're good. And then there's going to be other areas where we're gonna have to, like you said, put our hand in the fire, get a little blood in our mouths, find out that, yeah, this is a little different. Now I gotta do something. It's to teach you something, like you said, it's to strengthen you, it's to grow you, it's to give you a new perspective, and it's not to make you give up. I'm like, everyone who is still here, if you're still here, you still have breath in your body, you're still on this side of the dirt, that means you survived 100% of your worst days. That's a 100%. Every obstacle you overcame because you're still here. If it stopped you, you wouldn't be here. You'd be on the other side of the
Listen, that's a whole word right there.
dirt.
Whew. I didn't even thought about it like that. I know we always say celebrate small wins, but that's a whole big win. Like, I tell people all the time, like in the Bahamas, when your head ain't no good, when you crazy or whatever, we say, "Ooh, that person, oh, they're counting lamp poles because they crazy." So you literally could be out here counting lamp poles, but you, in your sound mind, in whatever position that may be, it may not be where you want it to be, but you'll eventually get there if you continually work towards it. Crawl if you have to, drag yourself, walk, creep, use a cane. I don't know. Just keep
That's
going.
right. That's right. And it doesn't. And as long as you take that little tiny step, whatever it is, if you keep on taking enough of them, you're going to be where it is that you're trying to go. Just little tiny step. Only way you don't get to where you're trying to go is if you stop taking any motion. You don't move forward anymore. You stop right there and you say, "This is it. I've arrived." Then that's the place you're going to be and stay. So if you want different, if you're not in the place you want to be and stay, if you're looking around like I can't, this is horrible, I don't like it here, move a little bit at a time, but move.
Yes. Because clearly, if you don't move, you like it. You
That's
like
right.
it.
That's right. You enjoying a little bit. I don't know, you know, you might say you're not, but you enjoying it a little bit. And mostly
Yeah.
the reason why we enjoy it a little bit when we're in those, when we're wallowing down there in our self-pity is because in some ways you already know what it feels like. So it's not scary. You're a little bit comfortable.
Yep.
Even though you're not comfortable with the situation, you are just a bit comfortable because you hit rock bottom. You're like, "Oh, I know what rock bottom feels like now." It might be scary to the scary part is what if I move and then I come back to rock bottom? But what if you move and you propel that next move right on the other side of that fear of moving is your breakthrough? What if that happens? Like there's so many other perspectives to think about, but sometimes we subconsciously just get in this place of, well, this is what rock bottom, you know, kind of is not that bad. I already know what it's like, so I wallow here just a little bit
Yeah,
longer.
real. I made some a post similar. Like, imagine if you didn't play with yourself. Like, imagine if you took everything that you have, used it, and succeeded in life. What happened? But I just wanted to ask a question. So, a lot of people think that financial literacy is needed to run a business or to own a business or be an entrepreneur, but it's important. It's a life skill that each and every one of us should know, because even if you don't aspire to be an entrepreneur and you want to work and be a corporate person, whatever that may be for you, you still need to know financial literacy. In this world of technology, how important do you think financial literacy is?
Man, in this world of technology, financial literacy is so much more important, even so than it was before the technology. I'll say that. Because now, in this day and age, there are so many ways to make and spend money because of technology. Used to be when you wanted to buy something, you wanted to spend money, you had to go to a store or go somewhere and make a purchase physically. Then it became, you could call in a telephone number, give them your check number over the phone, and then you can get something that you want. Now you can literally be on your phone. You can order something right through an app, your card already stored there, and you can get what you want. You can buy things with cryptocurrency, bitcoins. There's so much money and access to money digitally. You don't have to go out to work anymore to make money. You can earn money right from your phone, wherever you are. If you have a Wi-Fi or you have a computer, you can earn money. So technology has opened up so many avenues to access and to spend money. So if you don't have financial literacy in this day and age, like when they talk about buyers and sellers, consumers and owners, business owners, you will always be on the consumer end, which means you will always be giving your money to someone else. So you
And
have
me,
to,
and you.
yes, exactly. You have to take control and learn how to manage your own money. And you are your business. You might not be a business owner, but you are a business. This is
Yeah.
you, the business.
You spend your time, even if you're doing it to somebody else or another company, an employee. Technically, a contractor, you get a little more safety and security in regards to whatever benefits you signed up for. But at the
That's
end of the day, if something else comes along or if they try to cut your pay, you're gonna be like, well, I'm out of y'all.
it. Exactly. Like, that is such a word. And I think that sometimes we forget that. Like, we like to compartmentalize things, and we can't really compartmentalize money because so money is so intertwined with everything that we do, everything. Whether you work or don't work, even if you don't work and you don't have a job, you still need money to live and survive, period. So you have to have knowledge of money. You can't walk around with blinders on when it comes to finances and financial, you know, situations and knowledge. You can't afford to be blind, you know? That will keep you broke and most likely will get you taken advantage of too. So
Oh,
it's
yeah.
dangerous if you don't have financial literacy.
That is true, because a lot of people are being scammed from emails, texts, and as simple as seeing Like, okay, the other day somebody sent me a Facebook email telling me to reset my password because somebody from another country logged into my Facebook. Now, I know me. I know my passwords and I know that I constantly check my items. So the first thing I would do when looking at email, and I don't even open them per se, like I look at a small thing, I would try to see if I see anything wrong with the subject, the header. If I can't figure it from there, then I'll open it up. Don't delete them now, because if you delete them, they'll keep emailing you. But I'll check to see where the email come from. If it's like at Facebook dot this that, more than likely it's fake. And that's how it is for banks and stuff. So at Bank of America dot whatever, like I don't know, SPQ sometimes. But those are fake. People need to know. That's what to look out for.
Yes, exactly. And a lot of people are getting scammed with the whole Bitcoin thing as well. And it's because of lack of knowledge. Like, people don't want to acknowledge cryptocurrency as a form of currency and money. And therefore, they kind of shut off their brain to even acknowledging it or knowing anything about it. But that's one way that scammers are getting people. They're like, you got to put your money into Bitcoin to protect it. Somebody got into your bank account. And then people run out and do that. And then when they do that, then their Bitcoin, all their money goes and, they're done. And it's like, you can't be using technology and not have financial literacy. You can't.
It's just this what it is. You can't. It does not make no sense.
So dangerous. Like, it is so dangerous. And God only looks after children and fools. So if you are not a child and he has not deemed you a fool, which means he believes you have good sense, then he's not going to necessarily be there to protect you. So it's important to protect yourself by learning what you need to know.
Yeah, real. Because sometimes that's what that free will is. You decided. Now, mind you, at the end of the day, he still have video for you, but you just probably made your journey, the 4-day journey, the 40-year journey,
That's
doing
right. That's so
that.
true.
But now that we're shifting into financial literacy and business, we know that the fact that you decided to become financial literate and stop being financial illiterate, that made you into an entrepreneur selling digital products. So can you tell us about that? Tell us about your success, because I see your wins, I see your clients' wins, and I just love that. So tell us about that.
Thank you, Avery. Yes, so digital products, I am very new.